Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Stop talking about beating girls. You was beating b**** on the elevator. We seen the taste. That's devastating.
He's a wild boy. For being like, you beat just like, what the f***? You're the poster boy of that. Chris Brown is probably more famous as an abuser than he is as a musician, I think.
In the back of your mind, like, you kind of always do think, oh, man, Chris Brown and Rihanna. But, like, to say, like, equally as famous, I think.
I would say
he's more famous as an, he's.
For people who listen to his music, absolutely, he's more famous as an artist than as an abuser. Everybody who never listened to Chris Brown shit and who hasn't since knows about the Rihanna shit.
Which is more people, to your
Which
point,
is way
right?
more people.
Mm. You know,
that's the world. Everybody, people who never listened to his music know that he beat up Rihanna.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll give you that one. I will give you that one. Statistically, factually.
It's a red flag.
I'm looking forward to the new season of Interview with a Vampire. Y'all should watch that shit if you don't.
Hmm. What it's is good. That about?
Staring me down as his hands went wandering the seams of Miss Lily's dress. I wanted to take the end of my cane and slit his throat with it.
I love the movie.
It's about an interview with a vampire who's from, like,
fair.
Back in the day.
Fair.
Who's from back in the day. I mean, it'd be kind of weird if they named it that and it wasn't about that, but...
I mean...
What is Batman about?
It's about a guy called the Batman. Like, what the fuck?
Who wears a bat suit?
So it's this guy's interviewing a vampire. Actually, it's not even about an interview with a vampire. It's like that's the starting point. That's the storytelling method. It's not even about the interview.
Okay.
It's about this vampire.
Yeah.
Who started in like Louisiana? It's a podcast. It's a podcast about a vampire.
Is this a movie?
Or... It's a TV series.
It was a movie, but it's a which I think was based on a book, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
But
it's a podcast disguised as a show that was once created into a movie, but going back to a show now about a podcast.
It's not a. I just said podcast. It's not really about a podcast. It's podcast.
But basically, it's a goddamn a Louisianan vampire, country Cajun Creole vampire.
He's Creole. It's a Creole vampire. And
is it really a Creole vampire in this version? Because that sounds like a True Blood reference. Like, I didn't know if that was for real.
So either. Well, it depends. Like, what is Creole? Because I know that there was that white lady going, or that, you know, logic raced woman who was getting roasted online because people were like, you're not black.
I never said I was 100% black. I told y'all what I was mixed with. I'm multi-ethnic, and stop saying I'm biracial.
And then people were being like, you know, all these people that were calling Creole like they're black, but they're just white people with a tan from Louisiana. Like, what is Creole? Is that black? Or can be?
Typically, I see it used with either white or mulatto people that have ancestry rooted in the, like, French fur trappers in, like, that Louisiana Purchase-y area.
Like, even, especially, like, black people, too, identify as, oh, I'm Creole. Like, so it's, like, white, black, mulatto, whatever. Like, if you're from that region, if you're from that place, and you have, like, you damn near can speak French.
Yeah. So he's black, but he's definitely light-skinned, but he's like a light-skinned aristocratic family, and he does speak French. So whatever race that is, and it's his story of meeting this vampire in the French Quarter and just their lives, and then cross time, you know, because, you know, vampires be living a long time, so it's like him and in the 80s and all different kind of shit. So I'm not doing a great job, but, you know.
You've done better. But maybe I'll check it out. But
how influenced is it by the movie? Because the movie is literally quietly one of my favorite movies. It's like top 15.
Interesting. See, because I actually started trying to watch the movie because I liked the series so much, but I couldn't get into it. But I only gave it like maybe like 5 minutes before I was like, so maybe I'll give it another try.
I'd say give it a little bit more because like it's definitively a top 3 Tom Cruise performance.
Okay.
Like definitively.
You'll get used to killing. Just forget about that mortal coil. You'll become accustomed to things all too quickly.
Okay, okay. Well, look, I don't know if it's like the movie, but it's very good. It's very, it's basically like, you know what it is? This is a better advertisement of it. It's basically a thriller slash drama, romantic drama of slow burn, gaslighting, and domestic abuse in the form of like a vampire context. Plus, domestic like some abuse. Mystical, magical, sci-fi, you know, Lining. Bullshit as the background.
That's buying a domestic abuse by an immortal being.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is. All right. Sounds like for some engaging television. And with it's that good. Being said, welcome everybody to Waving the Red Flag, the number one dating relationship, top 10 LinkedIn DM slotting podcast in the entire universe, and especially parts of the fifth dimension, because your boys is out here. It's Josh.
Shout out, Willow.
You're Eddie. And we got the magnanimous Alvin with us. Gentlemen, how the fuck are you?
I'm okay. I think, I'm better than no.
It sounded really sad when you said that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, no, don't apologize for
my emotions.
You know, for just being okay. But yo, I did want to talk to y'all about some music shit.
Okay.
First of all,
fuck your bitch in the clicky claim.
Kendrickson started some shit, called this man out, hasn't responded. Is there a time limit on when a nigga has to respond to a diss song?
I think there's a time limit if it's good.
Drake took 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did y'all hear the second one, the second diss?
How does that one go?
He used AI for
the Snoop and Pac thing. Yeah. I didn't even listen to it. I don't know.
It's not bad. It's not, I mean, for what he's doing, that motherfucker's good.
Yeah, because the Breezy one was like, that shit was actually pretty fucking good and very vicious.
Very.
Should have been you is actually like that's too much.
Race, yeah,
that's too much.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
That's swing on you in public.
Yeah,
type of comments, because you got to think that's one of Quavo's most traumatic experiences in his entire life. Is that, and it happened not to me. It feels quite recent.
I think so. Like, I agree
that happened post pandemic. Like it's so still, I agree, it's in the modern era.
I agree that it's too much, but I also think that that's what hip hop beefs have been historically. Like when I think of No Vaseline and, you know, Hit 'Em Up and God Bless the Dead. Like, I mean, like, you
okay,
know,
couple of questions, because I'm not as much of a hip hop historian. What are the things, like, when you think of times that people crossed like the civilian line in hip hop disses, what are like the top three in that regard? Like with No Vaseline, et cetera, et cetera. Like what was said?
Fuck your wife. Fuck your bitch.
Yeah, fuck your bitch is kind of whatever.
Yeah, but I'm thinking.
I fuck
Jay. I'm thinking Jay-Z mentioning Nas's daughter. I'm thinking Ja Rule mentioning Eminem's daughter in a song.
What did they say specifically?
I mean, Google it. I mean, I'm not.
Okay, the point that I'm just assuming that you know what you're talking about, so that's why I asked. We're talking about the Quavo shit, and I'm saying, hey, this is a really intense. Tell me about it. If you don't, can Google it. That's fine.
But here's my point. I don't feel cornered. So if you interpret that as feeling cornered, I'm just. What I like to do with those situations is, like, if I don't know the lyric, like, I'm not gonna like recite it, because I've like put my foot in my mouth on several times, whether or not anybody caught it or not. Thinking about trying to recite lyrics and not being able to give them justice. So, like, I would just say,
you know, you don't have to recite the thing. Just like,
yeah, but yeah, like,
let's not act like what I asked was unreasonable. Like, look it up is some weird.
So it sounds like you thought what I said was unreasonable. So I apologize for that thing, because I don't feel cornered. I don't think you asked me anything unreasonable. I'm just talking, so I apologize if you thought what I said.
No, you're good. I think also Josh jumping in as well made me feel like, yo, what's going on? Like, I just asked a question, like, dog.
My ultimate point is that, like, hip hop lyrics have gotten brutal and like that kind of stuff. I don't think that's right, but I'm just saying if you're basing it off of like those standards, then like, yeah, cool.
Okay, so going back to what my initial question is, which is, Do we have any actual examples of someone, like, not vaguely talking about something, but hitting anything that's that level? Because mentioning someone's daughter, unless there's a specific line that you find particularly egregious, doesn't seem like anything to me.
All of those lines mentioning people's daughter, I think, cross lines. I'm thinking, like, when people were talking about 40 was going to die, when they were talking about, when they were dissing Drake stuff, yeah, because he has fucking MS. Like, I'm saying, like, I mean,
that's close, but it's not. It's not your family who was shot to death in front of you should have been you. That's way different than your sick friend is going to die. Like, it's bad, but that's a different level to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would definitely put any mention of, like, somebody's, like, children in the context
any
that their
mention?
Children were mentioned. In the context that their children were mentioned to be bad. Yes.
Yeah, I need to know these lines.
Because that's one thing, like, you don't do is bring in someone's, like, who doesn't have anything to do with, like, family into, like, rap beefs. Especially if it's between two grown-ass niggas and you talking about a man wife who ain't got shit to do with this, or a man's child who definitely ain't got shit to do with this, and dissing them just so you can, like, try to razzle up your rap opponent, that's something that you just don't do, because it's like, all right, you can say whatever you want about me, but don't talk about these people. And I'm
so. But that's the same level as a person murdered in front of you?
No one is arguing against you on that. Okay. Like, we're just saying all of these lyrics are egregious.
Okay, yeah, I'm thinking a line that's not been crossed previously is my point.
It's not. I'm thinking even further stuff. I'm thinking Gucci and Jeezy's beef.
Okay.
Oh, but that one, that was real. He actually shot that mother. Yeah. Yeah.
Gucci was the shooter. Like, that
makes sense. Those are fighting.
They did a versus, and this nigga Gucci was like, RIP to this nigga, yo nigga such and such, or what the fuck ever. Like, I mean, not new territory.
It's really not new territory.
That doesn't make it right because it's not new territory.
No, I'm not saying, and I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that is surprising, and which is what made me doubt its validity, because that seems like that's beyond talking shit, you know, kind of music shit. That's actual... Now, physical fighting, rap, murder, fighting beef.
It could get it could get deeper than just bars, like, because that was some way really fucked up. Like, I think he lessened the blow of that shit, even though what he said was super fucked up, was by, like, praising and bigging up Takeoff. But Offset called a straight in that shit, too, so I don't know what their relationship is. But anyway. It should have been you. It's crazy.
But it's also
just mentioning the murder and then being like, it should have been you I have not heard anything in this conversation that's comparable to that yet. Except for the who did you say? Gucci, Jeezy thing.
Yeah, but it's also like, there's also historical context where rap beefs have escalated to actual physical altercations that have resulted in... Like, the obvious one is, you know, the implications with, you know, like Biggie and Pac, and then again, yes, 50 exactly. and Ja. There are points where I thought T.I. and Lil Flip was going to escalate the blows. There was Dolph and Yo Gotti, you know, 100 rounds, for anybody who remembers that era. Rap beefs have escalated into literal, like, I'm getting somebody to spray your vehicle with machine guns and shit. Like, that, and again, that's not right, but, like,
let's not forget all the Chirac shit, like, you know, all the Chicago drill music, and, like, O Block versus, what's the other one? 63rd.
Fredo Santana is not alive.
Vaughn is not alive. Like, hell of them niggas is not alive. Like,
so is Chris Brown.
But yeah, go ahead.
What is Chris Brown the person to be doing? Like, that's, I'm not saying I'm surprised that Chris Brown is dropping a line like that, because that's fighting words. Like, I'm going, Chris Brown is now welcoming this to turn into some physical in real life violence.
I think Chris Brown actually do want to fight that nigga. Not for real. Like, I really do.
Okay. Cause that's what it feels like. Like, before this, like, cool, hip hop is back alive. We're having fun. We're talking shit. Instagram, you know, BBL Drizzy. Cool. Chris Brown is like, no, we can actually pop off. Like, I'm saying some shit that now invites physical violence of the highest level, is what that bar to me feels like.
That, see, the thing about it, for one, Chris Brown can actually fight.
Okay, I believe that.
He's not like just he ain't just some goddamn soft ass nigga. Like, he can actually fight.
My, Yeah, I believe
and it. Two, I don't know. Now, I don't know if this was real, but the way that Chris Brown's song started was, it sounded like a voice note, or like Chris Brown was like recording Quavo during a conversation when they might have been trying to piece it up, and Quavo was like, I don't want to fight like, oh, you, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, please, I don't, like, you know what I'm saying? Let's just piece it up, da da da. So, I don't know. But that Sweetie line.
Also, that's what I was saying. He's a wild boy. For being like, you beat bitches. Like, what the fuck? You're the poster boy of that. Like, you're almost more, like, actually, arguably, Chris Brown is probably more famous as an abuser than he is as a musician, I think. Globally.
Yeah, I mean, like, he'll never be able to get rid of that stain. But in the back of your mind, like, you kind of always do think, oh, man, Chris Brown and Rihanna.
Exactly.
In the back of your mind somewhere. But like, to say, like, equally as famous, I think
I'd say more.
I would say he's more famous he's gotten over that more than what happened.
Here's why I say this. For people who listen to his music, absolutely, he's more famous as an artist than as an abuser. For people who stopped listening to him or who never listened to him, what I'm kind of talking about is like people who aren't part of the culture, so like non-black people, everybody who never listened to Chris Brown shit and who hasn't since knows about the Rihanna shit.
Which is more people, to your
Which
point,
is way
right?
more people.
Mm-hmm. You know?
That's the world. Everybody, people who never listened to his music know that he beat up Rihanna.
Yeah. Well, so, I'll give you that one. I will give you that one. Statistically, factually, you are correct if you would like to go that route, my brother.
But it's also just the fact that like Rihanna is Rihanna's almost universally known, right? There are people who like know who Rihanna is who probably haven't even heard Rihanna's music, right? They're probably like grandmothers.
She's huge.
You know, great, like she's infinitely more famous than he is.
Yeah.
So when you hear about her story, you're going to hear that piece of the story in some fashion. Which
and
means you're going to be exposed. You're going to be exposed to Chris Brown based on the abuse and not his music. So you know. So I lean more towards Edward.
Wild to come at another man for, from what I could tell, was a much lesser domestic situation than yours.
Yeah, there's
by
video,
far.
But it doesn't even.
There's
doesn't
video.
Even
it was a scuffle in an elevator, like over a suitcase or something like that. You, like, went full Mike Tyson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there's arguably nuance about which
we ain't got to get, but yeah, like, you
yeah,
know
we
mean?
Ain't got
to
rehash
gotta
that,
all
but
that,
still,
but yeah, but
wild,
yeah, not,
wild
of you to say this about another man when you got probably one of the worst situations when it comes to like a domestic violence, well covered, you know, situations. That's crazy for you to actually throw a shot at him about the same thing.
Oh,
but,
man.
The
album cover with Rihanna's face, that if it like that, it would be the wildest fucking shit. But if somebody dropped the response diss track and it was Rihanna's mugshot, that would go fucking crazy.
Oh, nah, you're going to have a beef. Nah, because that's.
With everybody.
Yeah, because, like, you can't. Like, Rihanna ain't. Don't bring Rihanna into
that.
That shit.
She not with that, yeah.
Yeah, nah, you ain't fucking around with Rihanna like that.
No. But it would go crazy.
We love Rihanna.
Oh, absolutely. Well, she's a great artist.
Oh, I mean,
I don't really know about her as a person.
I mean,
if anybody wants to know that Chris Brown line, I suggest you Google it, you know, since we're not going to repeat it.
We should. Not to corner anybody, but
just Google it. What's the actual lyric?
Yeah, all right, got to find out.
Why are you talking about the thing if you can't recite the lyric? Shut up. Yeah. Just joking. Do we still want to hear this Drake shit?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's see.
I mean, I do.
Well, all right. Well, it's like 3 minutes and 50 seconds, but all right.
I think that's fun. I think it's fun. That's nice. That's fun. And I think I think the AI use is like a interesting. It's a new format, or at least I'm not one that I'm familiar with. You know, historically, when it comes to this shit, it's like, I'm not even recruiting them to like diss you. I'm recruiting them as skit characters to be like, come on, man. Don't let him talk about you like that. Like I don't know. It's a funny format.
That's why I said that. That's why I said that motherfucker is good. If you love him, like him, hate him, like he's good. Like he really knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
And just the fact that Kendrick started this shit. Not he ain't started because like this shit been going on. Da, 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 but you said some wild shit like that on like that. And it's just kind of weird, like, oh, what you gonna do? It's been a week, and you know people love instant gratification, so it just feels like a long time. And Drake responded, and now he responding again.
Yeah,
this motherfucker, he's good.
And you can say like, oh, he took 3 weeks. It don't matter. You can say whatever the fuck you want on the album. Like, it sound good. Like, why are you taking so long?
I think it just proves that I think I'm getting more and more confident in my theory that they just don't have anything on Kendrick. What? I think they just don't have anything. Like this is real softball shit. You know, like it's okay, and it's not even. And I'm not saying that that every diss track has to be hit 'em up. Like I'm not saying every diss track has to be the takeover.
They do have anything on Kendrick. Like, there's nothing to be had.
I'm not even saying that every Drake diss track has to be back to back. But I'm just saying, like, shit, like, it's not W Freestyle. Like, it just seems like they're just saying the same shit. It's just like, you made a Taylor Swift song, you taking a long time to respond. And like, what what's the next round gonna be? Like,
yeah,
you made a maybe Taylor he has Swift something. Song.
I think Drake maybe might, he does. If man. Any maybe if anybody would have something, it would be Drake. Because I mean, all you like, can do is does Kendrick have a child?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do something about his kid, something no, about his no, wife. No, you know what
I'm saying? I'm just, I just firmly no, yet, believe.
Yes, yeah. you can. As no, you should. That's my point.
Does that shit get personal? Because, like, again, that's when it starts leaking. That's when it just goes beyond, like, lyrics. Like, if you
that's
talk
how push
crazy,
it into the Drake shit.
Yeah, and that's why Drake was like, you know what? Nah, because and that's why Drake bowed out and lost the beef with Pusha because, like, the next step was for him to go. Top what he did, and which would have been super egregious and would have really started some real shit.
Pusha T is also and much better. Like that would have, I actually would have like enjoyed that because Pusha T is a punchline artist, right? So there are artists where it's like their style is their regular everyday style is conducive to that kind of rap battle. Pusha T is one of them. Pusha T is I put him in the same class as like Jadakiss, so like early Fab, where it's like everything they say is a fucking punchline. Or even early Cole, same thing. It's like punchline, punchline, punchline. My album is a punchline fest. So I actually would have liked that had they done it. And I think Drake, again, with Duppy, came in with that same kind of heat. And I think he did it exceptionally well. But I think he had material to do that. And I don't think he has that with Kendrick. I don't think anybody does. I think Kendrick's public persona is too curated for them to have anything. And if he has something that's like shady that like only he would know, similar to what Pusha had with Drake, I think that's the only way this gets interesting to me. Because right now it's just like, this is cool. This is cute. This is cool to discuss for an afternoon. But it's like, none of us are going to be talking about any of these tracks.
What did Kendrick say that was, because I kind of can't really remember from that. But did Kendrick say anything about Drake that was particularly like, poof, you got him there?
No, so, which is why I thought like that was. If you recall,
like,
Ross
roasted Drake way better than yes, called him a white boy with a fucking carved out BBL. Like those were great. Like,
I thought that shit was just kind of mid. Like I was like, okay,
I don't know whether the bar. I'm not gonna argue that the bars were strong from Ross, but the digs were very strong.
I mean, like,
I don't think anything that Kendrick said was like, okay, I guess that's
it
not.
Was,
Kendrick, only thing Kendrick said was like, you said like we're at the top, and I'm saying that like we are not at the top, I'm at the top. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. Yeah, that's like.
I mean, okay. it was y'all kind of like skipping over the whole point was the fact that after they've been not liking each other and sending these subliminal shots all these years, Kendrick was the first person to just be like, nah, fuck that. Fuck you, I'm a better rapper than you, I lyrically kill you. And like with all these lyrical metaphors of how I will lyrically kill you.
That was what control was. I'm trying to body you niggas. I'm not trying to be in the same space as you niggas. I'm better than you niggas.
That wasn't a diss, though.
He did that 10 years ago.
That wasn't a diss, though.
That's a diss to the industry. But Josh, I'm actually with you to begin with. Like, even with what Drake was saying about Kendrick, I don't think it's as lame as what Alvin is saying. But I agree that being able to hit somebody with like, oh, you're actually making interesting points about their character and making interesting insults is a thing that neither of them have done. So I think the shit that we just listened to with Drake, it's like, it's pretty nice. Yeah. But like, it's not anything crazy. And so Alvin's point that like, oh, they don't have nothing on Kendrick. I'm like, Kendrick's not even coming at anybody with like Pusha T type, like, Or even like what Chris Brown did, where he was like, you beat a woman and your cousin has been executed. Like those are like what you're saying, regardless of the rap, is wild.
I mean, like you even like just missing, skipping over the whole like Sweetie line. Like that was, it took me like three listens to get that bar.
Oh, when he good, was
talking
was
about fucking Look, Sweetie.
Look, man, Chris Brown has released the best diss track of 2024.
I think I probably agree with regard. Like, I don't know if I think musically it's the best one, but content wise, it's him and Ross, I think, are the two that like they're actually coming at people.
Yeah,
they're not just doing, I'm a better rapper than you. I rip rap more than your rap can rip. Like,
I rip it up more than you.
Yeah, which is pretty much all Kendrick and Drake have been doing, and J. Cole have been doing. You sell because of what I sell, and you're a sellout who doesn't sell as many records as I sell. And I see sales by the seashore. Like, okay, you're not, you know.
And you only put out albums every 3 years, and I put out albums every 2 years. Like, it's just like, I mean,
the Drake and Rick Ross people just getting stupid because they're talking about how rich we are. Oh, you only own a 15% of the island over there. I own 20.
Yeah, no, that's silly. That's like, I don't want to hear about that.
What the fuck? They're doing a joint album next year. Mark my words.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
You got 25% body fat with a carved out 6-piece. That shit was brilliant.
That shit was good. That shit was good. And speaking of selling, and speaking of selling out, we've actually sold out.
Oh, shit.
Of this little thing. More than once. And the good brother Eddie is going to tell us a little bit more about it.
Yo, you ever been listening to the podcast and thought, man, I want to have conversations just like this with me and the homies, you know what I'm saying? At the dinner party, at the kickback, at the barbecue, just hanging in a park, you know what I'm saying? Shooting some b-ball outside of the school, but you're tired of playing the basketball because, you know, your knees are, any of that kind of stuff. Well, you should play this game, you know what I'm saying? It's a red flag. It's 52 possibilities of conversational prompts about what is and is not a red flag when it comes to dating. As a matter of fact, let's play a card right quick and we'll show you how it goes. It's always a rip-roaring fun time. Rip-rapping and hip-hopping, you know? Is it a red flag if they... I've got the same number of bodies as you. A little bit.
That's crazy. A little bit, that's crazy. This nigga laugh like a diabolical genius. Yes.
No. I mean, yes, but not a deal breaker at all.
I'm thinking about myself personally.
But again, yes.
It is a red flag if she's got the same number of bodies as you little whore.
Yeah.
Were we not supposed to be answering these personally? Were we supposed to be answering from a structural, societal, ecological stance?
You can answer however
you want. That's actually on the instruction card. So any of y'all listeners who get the game, y'all who are playing at home already, you're supposed to answer it personally.
Okay.
Just so we're clear.
Oh, I thought
this is the official Uno rule guidebook. All right, you cannot put a +2 on a fucking +4 or whatever the shit is.
I'm gonna say no. I mean, like, especially because. Look, I stopped counting a long goddamn time ago, okay?
Dozens ago.
I know. I mean, this nigga was like, I don't even remember how many I'd have made.
He said 1-100, 2-100.
He's like, if I got a ballpark here, you know.
I mean, shit.
5 a week.
Order of magnitude.
You know, started when I was 17 type nigga.
Yeah,
like,
to create
damn,
new
Josh.
Units of measurement. 1 megabitch, 2 megabitch.
2 megabitch, 3 megabitch, 4. So you,
that's a gigabitch.
So you know you got to square. You know you got to square these bitches. No, yeah, like, yeah. But no, like, because I...
Multiply
but,
by 3 head ass.
Well, the reason why I said that was because, like, my body count ain't, at least in my eyes, like, it's not crazy. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
true.
So, but I know, like, a lot of guys... If a girl said that she had the same number of bodies that I did to like one of these dudes, they're like, "Oh my god, she da 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 da." But like, I know I don't be fucking like that. Like I don't fuck new girls like that. And it's kind of easy to rack up. some bodies after goddamn.
Okay, J-Mo, let him know how you move. It's easy for me. It's hard not to rack up bodies when you J-Mo.
Man, look, bro.
One coming over and one right now, head ass nigga.
They don't call me J-Mo bitches for nothing.
Man, please, boy. I tell you, y'all just don't understand the caliber of niggas I associate with, I guess, because shoot, like, them cats, my niggas be getting it in. And I'm like, how? Mm-hmm.
You're actually considered a weakling among your people. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. He's like the weakest Viltrumite.
I'm worth 100 million, but these niggas is billionaires type I'm poor.
Like the sumo wrestler from the Jackie Chan adventures. Like when you meet his family and they're all like giants, like he's the smallest one in the family. That's crazy.
Yeah. So with that, like, no, but at the same time, again, like I said this shit before, I really don't want to fucking know like that. I don't really, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't
had a body count conversation since I was like 20. Like, I just don't. I'm not having the conversation. So it could never be a red flag for me because I'm not ever gonna know.
No.
But to not sidestep it. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Not to sidestep it. Like, even if I found out, I still don't care because also, you know, like, my logic with that is also. To Josh's point, even if you're fairly conservative in 2024, right?
Mm.
As you get up in age, the number is just gonna raw number is gonna be what it is. So I also just don't care because I'm not fucking you know a young person you know particularly anymore. So it's like the numbers are gonna be big. Even if you're a relatively conservative person,
if you're not even going
in
fast.
That regard,
yeah,
if you're not even going fast in 2024. If I'm dating in my age range. So it's like, I wouldn't care.
See, let me add some context to my, cause I think that the problem with the body count thing is like, is the red flag thing of like, is it bad if they have the same body count as me? It's like, no, I'm not saying that, but I would say like, depending on when you caught me in my, you know, metamorphosis, like my body count at a particular point in time would have been a red flag to someone else. Not like that it's morally bad to have slept with a bunch of people, but it's like your body count is this, that might be an indication of how you're moving. So if a woman was like, yo, I'm at this age, I'm at this point in my life, my body count right now is this, and it ticked over yesterday, that might be a red flag for forming like a strong bond at that moment. It's not a moral stain. I'm not saying a equal body count is a moral stain, but is it a red flag that you might have like, still active promiscuous behaviors, like an inability to form stable relationships, like insecurities that are destroying relationships, like maybe that you're not interested in something long term? Abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah. There's other contexts, though, that might make that a non-issue. Because like by the time you're, you know, grown, like 3 summers, you're racking up double digits easily.
Damn,
3 summers, you was getting it in.
No, I'm saying as a woman, but as a guy too, but as a woman specifically. As a woman, three single summers, double digits is very normal.
Damn.
But I will say that when I asked all those many years ago, it was very much in line with like your thinking. I also have changed kind of like my perspective on how like I view like what it means to be promiscuous and like even what that was like as a seasoned adult now. But when I asked, it was in my mind, at least at the time, a gauge of like how you're moving and not on some like, you know, oh, you're
it's
a bad
not a moral
person
thing.
If you're fucking kind of thing. Like, yeah.
No. Especially the farther back it is, the less of an issue it is. If you've got 1,000 bodies from, and I mean, literally, I'm not being hyperbolic. If you've got 1,000 bodies from 7+ years ago and you haven't been moving like that since, cool. Like, you know, I would say if you have 1,000 bodies and the 1,000th was a month ago, there's probably an issue there that's not compatible with the relationship that I want to have. Yeah.
But I will also say that like, and going back to what I was saying, like how I've changed my perspective on promiscuity, it's like, I think that you can do that in a way that's healthy. And I think that if you're doing that, somebody has to be kind of like your first foray out of
not
what
me.
That meant for you.
Not
right?
I.
And I think it's fine if like people don't want to be that person. I kind of don't care. Like that kind of doesn't bother me.
I can see that. The other thing is, I think, because I also haven't had, I think I've only probably had two situations where I've known somebody, or maybe three, where I've known somebody's body count. And one was a woman who, like, it was kind of like a point of pride. She had like a Rolodex. She was trying to fuck every dude in the alphabet. And so we just kind of talked about it. And it wasn't, for me, it wasn't a red flag because we crazy.
I don't
crazy,
know. That's a bit of a red flag. I'm like, yo, I am not putting my dick in that. Goddamn. That's a.
Look,
you can do that safely.
Oh no, how did she look?
It was a Kevlar condom.
Safely in him.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. We act like you can get like AIDS on top of chlamydia, like shit that can now eat through a condom. It's like, yeah, look, she's probably fine. Like, a condom is doing its job. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a stress.
So you smash. That's what you're saying. All right. I ain't mad at it. I, no, dude,
we were in bed while she was showing me her little moleskine that had all the shit in it. So, like, this is a conversation we were having.
Like, post-fuck.
Well, not, like.
Damn, during?
She was on E and she let you know. She was like, Eddie.
And it didn't tick over till she nutted, right? So we were fucking and she was like,
Doesn't count. She ticked me off.
Yeah, that counts. So the body count could have been even higher than that. But my point there was, I think red flag is like also for me contextual in terms of like what I'm, because at the time we were having fun. She was a kind person. There were maybe some negative behaviors, but not anything that, like, if anything, I was the more toxic off person in that context. There was some like life shit that was going on with her that was bad, but for the most part, there was nothing bad about her. She was grown ass woman having a good time, sucking and fucking in the way that she wants, enjoying herself.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Like,
I
feel
you. It's not an issue.
You know,
it's. I would be lying if I was because I'm just imagining it.
Yeah.
And she like, oh yeah, here's all the guys I'm fucking. I'm just like, yep, working my way down from A to Z. Okay, what am I supposed to do with this information? Like, that's not turning me on.
I kind of was into it. I was kind of into it. Not gonna lie.
I mean,
because I was also free. We were, and I don't know how y'all, but like when you're in that situationship shit, and you're not trying to like create the illusion of love, you exchanging whole stories. Yeah,
nah,
this way. Da, da, da. Like, that's what. Yeah,
you're right.
She was hearing she was hearing everything I was doing. I was hearing everything she was doing. And lightweight, it was kind of hot. Like, it was like, cool. I know how you move. I want to try that. Like, let's do that. Like, da 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 da. So,
you're right.
Yeah. You're right. So, it wasn't an issue. So, that one, not a red flag contextually. I was like, this is interesting and a little bit hot, kind of. The other two, it was like they were testing the waters. And those were a little bit off. Like, they were like, hey, what's yours so that I can tell you mine to like get it off my chest? And I'm like, I really don't give a fuck. But so, yeah.
1 million. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know.
Right. 1 million. Man,
you know what I mean?
What's yours? 15? Oh, that's pretty high. I'm 5,000. No.
I'm 5.
You do it like the Price is Right. It's all. You just won over whatever they say. Yeah. They say 15. Yeah. Oh, 16. 16.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I always take one off. Whatever she say, I'm taking. I'm going by half.
Do we have we got time for one more?
Text him. She got home when he was already asleep.
Yes, okay. That was the one I was going to say.
All right,
that's a short. We can do that real quick.
Okay.
Hold on, let me.
Oh, I can pull it up.
The girls to weigh in on this because I can't tell if I'm being completely irrational or unreasonable. So I've been seeing this guy, and
why you need the girls to weigh in on it? You talking about
we decided to have dinner the other night. So we go out to dinner, we both have a couple of glasses of wine at dinner, and then we go back to his place together. This is my first time at his place, and I think we all can assume what happened from there. So I'm going home, and he walks me to my car, thankfully, and as we're saying goodbye, he tells me to text him when I get home. Courteous, right? It took me about 20 minutes to get home, so by the time I'm home, it's around 2 a.m. I text him that I made it home safely, and he doesn't respond. So he texts me back the next morning and he's like, glad you made it home okay. He obviously fell asleep, but I just feel like given the circumstances, I'm a new girl that you're seeing. We both had a couple of glasses of wine with dinner. We just hooked up and I was driving home late at night. I feel like he should have stayed awake to make sure I made it home okay. Obviously, I get it that late at night, no one wants to stay up, but like when you're dating, don't you want to make sure she made it, especially as a guy? I mean, like, I don't have many means to defend myself, like, should something happen. I don't know. I just feel like he should have made sure I made it home okay. Is that unreasonable? I mean, it was like 2 a.m., so I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know.
Can we also add the context of the tweet that responded to that? Because some of the person that I saw this from, they say, the hardest part of your early 20s as a woman is having to fully grasp the extent to which men do not care and are generally indifferent about your well-being. Because I think that's the most interesting, like, subtext of this thing.
Hell, this is a quick one.
Well, let's see what we think. Because maybe we disagree. I don't know.
I mean, if I'm being totally honest with myself, I don't want to believe that the subcontext, like what you just said, like, oh my God, men just generally don't give a fuck about your well-being, ladies. That's the toughest part because from a woman's point of view, I can definitely understand like why they would come to that conclusion. But I guess also just thinking as a man, it's like, no, that ain't fucking true. I care about bitches' well-being. What the fuck? Shit, I love you. Yeah. What the fuck?
I want you to be well.
I'll be goddamn. I'll be like, yo, you made home safe? Shit. I'll be texting you, made home safe? She hit me up the next day. Oh, yeah, I just ain't give a fuck about texting you. Like, all right, well, cool. But one thing about men, though, we don't do that shit with each other. Like, we're not socialized like that with each other. I do. So,
But I agree.
Okay,
with
a lot. You know,
yeah, largely. Largely. Yeah. We're talking about society.
I agree with your point, 100%.
Yeah, so.
But we should. The only reason I said that was I think we should. That's all I was saying. Yeah. But
we should give a fuck more about each other, absolutely. But it's just a thing of if we're not conditioned in such a way, just naturally, all throughout life, like how women have to really be conscious of their surroundings way more than men do. Women have to be way more conscious about, you know, who they take drinks from, just existing.
Yes.
They have to take so much more shit into consideration that we don't even think about.
And I think that's to her point.
And yeah, and that's what I'm saying too. Like, I'm not disagreeing because what the thing is like, it's like, nah, man, I do care about, but at the same time, it's like, well, shit, I can definitely understand why you might feel that way. But it's just a thing of we're not necessarily conditioned to actually display that in actionable, like just in everyday action with most women. And then hell, half the time, but either with some of these toxic women, when you do try to do that shit, it's not quite the vibe that you were expecting. I don't know. So it's like, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, you get posted up. He's checking to see if I'm all right. We done linked one time.
You know?
So, yeah.
Lame as hell, boy.
So, I'm going to split the difference. So, one, I will say...
I haven't even said what I believe yet, but...
Yeah. No, I'm saying, you know, just between... When I say split the difference, I mean between the point that you brought up as the follow-up tweet and also what she's explicitly trying to get addressed in that video. If you open an app and at any given point, 100 guys, you know, can come at you, you kind of got to be pretty strategic on how you weed out those people. So if this is something that she ultimately wants and she's looking for like a relationship or she's looking for a consistent, you know, dating situation, she probably has lots of options. So I think that it's fine for her to have pretty strict criteria on how she's like weeding through what is probably a buffet. Like literally in the palm of her hand. So I'm actually fine with what she's doing. And as far as those go, this is a fairly reasonable in my opinion. I will say in terms of how people are positioning this as something that like, well, men don't give a shit about anybody. And like, they haven't had to care about people in the same way that women have had to care about. I think men do that differently a lot of the times. Right. So I'm very similar to Eddie. Me and my friends do check in on each other, especially if like it's like a drinking kind of situation. But I wouldn't be slighted if my friends check up on me the next day, which is more often what happens. Like they don't be like, oh man, text me. You know, they'll say that, text me when you get home or whatever, which I never do. And then I'll say some shit like, oh, just got in, you know, at like noon. And it's like a running joke that we have. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, what were you doing? And I'm like, man, I was just out grinding, you know, doing what I do. The grind never sleeps kind of bullshit. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll say some bullshit like that. So I think that like the way men's friendships operate are much more low maintenance in that regard. And I think that you could argue in a lot of contexts that that's less fulfilling. But I also think that you could argue on the flip side, in a lot of ways, it leads to a lot of neuroticism in the way that women approach friendships. Like the way women talk about their friendships and how they expect this, like they expect their friends to be like their everything in a lot of situations. And I think that on some level that's unfair too. So yo, I think that you kind of need to split the difference in those regards.
Yo,
I think it's complicated. The other way around.
No, hold, because, let me. Okay. You, yeah.
No. If you got fired,
because like, bro, like, nah, like, I saw like a fire-ass TikTok when a dude literally was talking about like the low maintenance of male friendships and how like women like view our friendships like less than because like we're so low maintenance with one another. It's like, no, like y'all don't get it. Maybe it's not for you to understand because that is the gift. Like the sometimes the best gift that you can give to another nigga is the gift of not having to do shit except enjoying that other person's company.
So
like being there for them.
So Josh, I'm gonna back you up because I say this as myself, like my selling point as a partner for women is legitimately that I come to the relationship as a full person. You don't have, I'm not a second child. You don't have to feed me. You don't have to fucking clean up for me. You know, you ain't got to pay my bills. Like I'm not going to be out in the streets doing nothing stupid. Like I see value. No, because again, I think that's a weird way to think of relationships that like the only value that you can get of a relationship is labor and not like
right, what you're doing. So like, somebody, no, like, yeah, all like the
I think that's weird. I think that's weird saying that like, oh, it's a roommate.
Friendship is a little bit of back and forth. Like, okay, so I think I kind of agree with y'all. Like I disagree on the bigger.
I just don't think it's labor. I think that women have been socialized to think that friendship and relationships is labor because the patriarchy has made the relationship between men and women about labor. And I think because of that, they skew their friendships to think that only friendship is labor.
The thing that we're saying about like male friendships, I think that male friendships do lack a lot. Like I agree, there's neuroticism in female friendships, but it's like, and don't get me wrong, like. Because I know that we can do this cherry pick anecdotal thing where we're like, okay, yeah, me and my homeboy who we never link or we never talk or we're low maintenance, when I really needed him, he came through. But in large numbers, is that really what's happening? In large numbers, when a woman gets into a difficult situation, she gets into a car accident, she has a medical situation, whatever, there's often a tribe of women who are there to help her through the shit. When a man is going through the same
it's
thing,
it's a nigga a that's there to help her through that shit. Okay,
like, I'm not saying again. I don't want us to do this anecdotal thing of like, hey, I have an example that like counters to what you're saying. I'm saying by and large, when comparing the two groups, not our individual experiences, because one,
I think
we're not even representative.
I think the only thing that either of us have on that side is anecdotes. I think the only thing that either of us have on the side of that is anecdotes.
I think if you say women, it's going to be anecdotes. Also experience. We can look at what other people experience.
Yeah, and if I'm looking at what other people have also experienced on that side, like niggas are calling their niggas if like they get in a car accident. Like
okay.
Yeah, bro.
And Josh, same.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, though, because like, when I say like we're low maintenance, it's not that we don't give a fuck about each other, like, you know, contrary to what I said earlier, but it's just the fact that if you need me, I'm there for you no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know I got your back. But the thing is, I'm not making myself your problem. Like, I'm not always looking to get something out of you just so I know that you're my friend.
I don't need the 2:30 a.m. text, right? I don't need the 2:30 a.m. text.
A little bit of give and take?
Like, yeah, and course, I think, yeah, of course. I think no you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I got and your I back, you got my back. That. No, yeah. I don't think that me and Alvin are saying that male friendships are not also give and take. It's just there's a lot less pressure on it. For it to be like this this overt give and take type shit, because we already know, most guys already know what it is to be like the provider and have that pressure on you. So like what we do for each other is we don't put that pressure on one another.
Let's get specific. If we're talking about a situation like this one of like texting to see whether or not your homie gets home safe, I think that to your initial point, I think is in line with I actually disagree with the commentary that the responder has put, but I'll get into that in a second. I think when we look at the way men look at the safety and care of the people that they do care about, it is at a lower level and being like, okay, cool. I'm going to check in on my homeboy to see whether or not he got home the next day versus, hey, yo, shoot me a text and just make sure that you're safe because I'll know. And if something does happen, because shit happens all the time. People fall in a fucking alley, they get in a car accident, and a text message or a check-in could be the difference between life and death. It happens all the time. Being like, I care a little bit more, I'm going to check in, framing that as like someone else being high maintenance as opposed to you being high care seems like an arbitrary framing. Like, I want to give those things in a relationship.
Yeah.
So, and I also expect them. So, and I'm not saying you can't have different levels of friendship, that if you want to have that style, that's cool, but automatically looking at that as oh, you're being high maintenance and putting pressure on it, to me, is I think masculinity being rooted in not kind of not giving a fuck, and it's bad for us.
So I led with, I don't think that that part is unreasonable for her to want that. Like, I literally led with that. I'm talking about a
Josh, point. I don't think that you're being 100% there.
No, I mean, like, I mean, if I didn't have a chance to actually articulate myself properly, but like, I'm not disagreeing with you on that front. I literally said we should care more. We should actually, you know, care a little bit more about each other in terms of emotional, like doing shit like you just said. That's not an unreasonable ass. No one is saying that that's an unreasonable ass.
I think she's being very reasonable in the dating market. And I think that, again, like, she could have, when you have the kind of options that the modern woman has, I think that she could be she could jump way out of left field and still be very successful in the dating market. And I don't think she's doing that here. I think she's being pretty reasonable. When I brought up the other points, I'm addressing the follow-up tweet.
See, I actually disagree with both of them, because I don't think this, I think she's being unreasonable. Like, I think this is a first date. This is like a first or second date, and she's acting like the dude. Like, it's fine for you to, I guess, want that. But, like, to act like a dude is, like, wild for falling asleep at 2 a.m. and acting like this is evidence. After smashing.
I also don't think that's what she was doing. I also don't think that's what she was doing. I think she was doing what I'm saying. I think she's like, I'm a woman. I can get on fucking, you know, Tinder right now and get something, you know. And I think she's like, I'm weeding it out. I'm weeding out.
No. This didn't seem to me an indifferent weed out. This seemed like I'm having an emotional reaction to whether or not this motherfucker is a good person. She's responding with an emotion to it. Not like, I would prefer this kind of a person than this type of person. She's like, no, I feel some type of way about that, which you're allowed to feel some type of way. But I think it's too much for like a first or second date. Like, if regularly this was an issue, like if you see like he's not the kind of person who follows up or checks in or whatever, it's like he preemptively texted the next morning. He doesn't know you. Y'all aren't dating. Y'all aren't close. Y'all fucked once that night. He fell asleep. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think it's an indication that this person isn't capable of giving a fuck about you or caring about your well-being. And I definitely don't think it's evidence that men don't give a fuck at all. But to your point, Josh, I do think that men's standard of what is considered to be care lacks proactiveness, both in our relationships to other men and in our relationships to women. So I think her larger point I agree with. But this particular example, I think she's doing slightly too much.
You are a fucking psychopath. I just want you to know that. I love you, but you are a psychopath. That was a brilliantly
put. What'd I do?
This nigga just argued against me and Alvin about a point. We technically wouldn't.
He argued against himself.
Arguing against himself and then turned right back around.
This he argued against himself twice.
Being unreasonable. Who the this fuck nigga you think he is expecting a nigga to respond to her at 2:30 in the fucking morning after taking?
No. Because I didn't get to talk first. Because I would have said that from the beginning. Shit. I'm saying I disagree with y'all on the larger point about the way men approach care. This particular specific micro level example, I think, is a misapplication of that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
But you did argue against yourself twice on some Piccolo shit. You just like, you know how like on DBZ
it's called nuance,
like,
baby.
When they would like fucking duplicate themselves nail. And then fight against themselves.
That's hilarious.
The best possible training. Like
is fighting yourself.
Yeah. I gotta keep myself sharp. You know what I'm saying? Nobody that can challenge me but me, so I gotta do an AI Eddie. And battle against him.
And on that note, if they don't text you to make sure you made it in safe after taking you to Pound Town, and goddamn it, you might be seeing a red flag. But if you're still counting bodies, then you might be you that's waving a red flag. I mean, it's like, you know,
big age,
like,
listening to this podcast.
You know what I mean? I mean, hell, at your young age, you know what I'm saying? If you're a young jit, you know what I'm saying? Pre-20s, mid-20s, early 20s. If that's still super important, you're like, yo, I know I fucked about 37 bitches already. I got 30. Like, I mean, come on, buddy. You might need to give it up in a couple years, if not immediately. But that's not shaming. So it's been your boy Josh. It's been Eddie. It's been Alvin. Ooh-wee. All right. So the good things, what we're doing now. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you can stay abreast to when we go live, especially if you are new here. Yes, we do go live every Saturday night around 8:50, you know, 9 p.m. because niggas be late sometimes, you know what I'm saying? We be on that CP time.
Stop sending us complaint emails. That's not what the feedback box is for.
Yeah, boy. I mean, well, you know, shout out to y'all though, because it's Saturday. Y'all could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. So thank
you. And we thank you for that. Thanks for hanging out with us. But we're going to be there when we get there.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas got to go through tech checks. But yeah, so that's 8:45, 9. You know what I'm saying? Your boys be live, swing through, chop it up with us. We love to hear your questions in the comments and da-da-da-da-da. Make sure that if you have not done so, spice up your, you know, your regular conversations with the It's a Red Flag card game. And support your boys because, you know, we're going to be doing some cool shit. And, you know, bringing you some dope shit, you know what I mean? And thank y'all so much for the support so far. Make sure that you are also catching the additional bonus content. And if you do miss lives, you can also catch that content and get further context into some of the shit we be saying that comes from the lives by joining the Patreon, the Spotify, the Discord, wherever the fuck else we at, wherever podcast is at, baby, it's your boys is waving the red flag, you know what I'm saying? So, yes. That's it.
It is what it is.
And goddamn it, we got to shorten that shit up, man. We got way too much stuff going on.
Yeah, we just keep going up.
Goddamn.
We're just going to send you a QR code. Just scan the shit, read it. You know what I'm saying? Like terms and conditions.
Fuck.
This podcast may cause mesothelioma. Don't worry about it.
The magazine and the blog is coming out next year. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Fashion show. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're dropping a moisturizing cream as well. So
yeah. Big facts.
Look out for that.
A movie, right. You know?
Oh yeah, Alvin got a sneaker shoe coming out too.
Yeah,
oh,
it's a loafer. I heard about it's a that. Loafer actually. You know? For niggas loafers. That want a podcast, you know.
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect podcast shoes.
Under the desk.
It's a red flag.